With that in mind, let's bow our heads this morning and we continue our service together. Father, thank you this morning for the wonder of your love for us. And Lord, it's not a fickle human love, but we need only look at Calvary to understand the depth of your love for your creation. We thank you that you so loved us that you sent your only Son, Jesus, to die upon a cruel cross there on Calvary to pay our sin debt, Lord, to reconcile us to yourself. And by simple faith, believing in the work of Jesus Christ, we can be saved. Here we are this morning, sinners, saved by your amazing grace. And Lord, may it always amaze us. May we always stand in awe of your incredible mercy that has been lavished upon all who have placed their trust in you. We love you this morning. We thank you for the privilege that you have left us behind to be witnesses. And as we've been studying now on our sixth Sunday, let every believer, according to the Word of God, is a witness. And I thank you for those that have shared their story in recent weeks and for the opportunity to connect our hearts with the hearts of the world around us to tell them how great and awesome you are. May you bless our time this morning. Lord, may you encourage us in this walk. May you encourage us to be sensitive to those around us. May you help us to be lovers of people as you first loved us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be dismissing the kids now, 3 years old, up to first grade. First graders and older, we want you to stay in here this morning. We'll be continuing in our study this morning of every believer a witness, so all of our kids can come and give to the Honey Park offering if they'd like. That's our ministry, our sister church there in Welcome, South Africa, and excited to say, I think it was last Sunday, they celebrated their third year anniversary, and Joe said this week that their early service, which is when they have all the children come, not the teens, but the early church service had over 60-some kids crammed into that little metal building, dirt floor, and as they taught them the Word of God and shared with them the good news of Christ, so we're excited to be a part of that. I do want to take a moment. Now, first of all, has everybody received a number 6? This is the one we're working on this week, number 6. If you did not get one of these, raise your hand. We have ushers ready to run to your side, okay? And if they ask you for money, do not give it to them, okay? Especially the Sanford ones, right? They are their father's children. Now, Caleb, you were giving them out earlier, and you didn't even keep one. Oh, you're going to tell me you gave it away, didn't you? Bless you, young man. Bless you. Number 6, we'll be getting to that in just a moment. Now, we're actually studying what's called Every Believer a Witness, for those of you who may be just joining us today. And we've been studying over the last 6 weeks, have one more week. Next Sunday will be our final week of this, as we learn about every believer being a witness. And so if you haven't been a part of that, you have the other 5 booklets out here on the table. And the men back at the sound system will be glad to make sure we have CDs for every one of them. And they can make sure they get you one for whatever weeks you may have missed. I would encourage you to get one. Each week has been different, it's been exciting, and I'll recover. I'll review it here in just a few moments. I do want to take a minute and just kind of update everybody on my wife. Many of you have asked. I want to say thank you for all of your prayers and our family's behalf. The surgery, my wife has cancer, and she had surgery Tuesday, and after the surgery, everything went well. This is the second round with cancer. She had her first round about 20 years ago when she was 37. I just told her age. Don't tell her. It won't matter to my wife, believe me. But this round, he thinks he got it all. The good report, actually, a very excited doctor called us back at 7 o'clock at home Wednesday evening. to tell us, he said, I want to speak to Tammy myself. He was the same doctor she had 20 years ago that wept when he gave her the report that she had cancer and it was in her lymph nodes and all of that. And so he just told her that they got everything. The margins looked good. There was none in the lymph nodes. And so he suspects that there'll be no need of chemo. We'll know that when we go to the oncologist, Lord willing, December the 8th. So we covet your prayers for that. And that journey, we're still going to have to do radiation, no doubt, but we're good with that. But God's been faithful. Thank you for your prayers, for your calls, your cards, your visits, and your food. And thank you for not fixing bunches of it, because I eat it, okay? It was perfect each evening, just what we needed. So thank you all so very, very much, and we appreciate your prayers as we move forward. Many have also asked about Tammy's sister. That's a little bit different story. She had cancer surgery Friday a week ago. Hers is as well, cancer, and hers is in her lymph nodes. But now please pray, because they've asked her to come in for bone scans. So there's a suspicion there may be some issues there. So just pray with us. Many of you know Carolyn. She's been here. She'll be, matter of fact, she may be with us next Sunday. We'll see. She's coming down this week for a bit. So please pray for her as well. And, of course, you know our church prayer needs as well. Lift all those up in our church family. This is a busy week, isn't it? And so I just appreciate your prayers and all of you standing with us. Now, in the middle of all of this, perfect time to be witnesses. As we journey, and I call it doing life. As we're doing life with those around us, we have the opportunity to be a witness. And so I hope you've been encouraged. I heard from so many of you in the last 5 weeks, and I've heard many of your stories, and it's exciting to hear and see you join with God in that which He's called us to do. The first week in our journey, we looked at why we don't witness more. We've got great news. We sit here and sing and celebrate. Your grace still amazes me. We celebrate the incredible wonder of God's goodness to us, and yet we walk out these doors and go live life like we don't have good news. Can we admit that our culture needs good news today? Isn't it a sad world, guys? I mean, I can remember as a child when people used to whistle. There was a song in people's hearts. Anybody hear anybody whistling in the last month? And I don't mean, get over here. I'm not talking about that kind of whistle. But I mean whistling a song. Can you remember? Yeah. How about just singing as people went about their way? Because see, we live in a world today that is dark and lonely and depressed. And man, God has strategically placed us right here. All of His churches that are true Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, gospel-preaching centers are witnesses. And we've been left behind not to have a big party and fellowship all the time, but to get the good news out. And that's what we studied that first week. And we learned the second week that we all have a testimony. You know, we all look for these flamboyant ones, you know. In fact, I think Dr. Tim Lee is up here. Brother Tony, isn't that today? Did you see, isn't it today? He's up at First Baptist Church in Whitsett this morning. And if you've ever heard his story, he's got one of them dramatic stories in the Vietnam War. I believe he lost his legs there, if I remember correctly. And God's gloriously saved him. And it's a whole series of events. And he's got one of them testimonies that you just go, wow. Well, mine's not like that. Maybe you were raised in a Christian home and your daddy and mama just taught you about Jesus, and at 6 years old you trusted Jesus and you believed on Him, and your life has been a Christian life in a Christian home. I wasn't mine. And you say, I don't have a testimony like that. Well, you know, that second week we learned that every one of us have it, because the Bible clearly teaches us, remember, that every one of us is, what were the five things? You remember? Lost. What's the second? Blind. What else? Huh? Dead. What else? Wicked. This is the one nobody likes to admit. Remember the fifth one? Enemies of God. What? I'm a good guy. I'm an American. We live in America. We're good people, right? No. What the Word of God says is we're all lost, blind, wicked, dead, enemies of God. Everybody is born into this world separated from God, our Creator. And so that is our testimony. And every one of us are saved from the same thing. Maybe different ways God got us to the gospel, but we saw that. And then the third week, we developed our story. We took time each service to jot down our story. And it was made up of three parts: my life before I met Jesus, how we met Jesus, and then thirdly, my life since I met Jesus. And it wasn't, if you remember, it wasn't painted with all this Christian jargon. It was real. It was, this is who I was, this is what He did, and this is what He's done since I've been saved, since I've come to faith in Christ. And it's been ups and downs, and we talked about just being real and being honest, and then we encourage you to go out and share your story. Many of you did. And then, if you remember, the fourth week, one of the things that all of us, matter of fact, it was so neat because that week I can remember, I had to face fear that week myself. One time I think I did good, another time I failed miserably, and I had to take and apply these principles, how to defeat fear. We looked at specifically seven different ways to do that. And then last week we kind of honed it a little bit because not every meeting do we have time for a 4 or 5 minute time to share our story. Sometimes we build our story over the course of time. It's people we know, perhaps, or we're acquaintances with. But we honed it last week a little bit, and we began to encourage you to go out and share your story. Now, I'm going to ask you this morning, I've got some new microphones up here. I've got to make sure that everything is cool. I know how to work. I guess they're on. I don't know how to turn them on. Yeah, I guess it's off. There it is. Push up means on, right? And what I ask you to do is I ask you to go out this week and just share your story. And look for opportunities to do that. And I'd like to ask for a volunteer or two, if we have time, to perhaps share with us. We don't need to hear your story, but what we would like to hear is just maybe the events leading up, how you got to where you could share your story. Anybody want to share that with us? Perhaps you've never shared, or maybe you have before, but you want to tell us, you shared your story. Tell us a little bit about how that happened. Anybody want to share that this morning? We'll sit here all morning because I know some of you did. Who will share with us? We need to hear your sharing of your story. Hold your hand up. Don't be shy. Anyone? Your heart's beating really bad. Your palms are sweaty. That's the Holy Spirit. There's Brother Bill. That's the Holy Spirit saying, you're the one. Come on, Brother Bill. I'll meet you halfway. How's that, brother? My age, see, it's wearing on me. Here you go. Tell us a little bit about you sharing your story or how you came to that this week. It's on. It's supposed to be up.
Hello.
There it is.
I got to share my testimony kind of by surprise. I wasn't intending to share my testimony, but I went to go look at a house. To buy a house from a guy, and he tried to kill himself October 30th by taking a bag of heroin, like a whole thing of heroin, or whatever that is. And the Lord said, boom, I need to talk to him. So I started asking him questions and trying to learn a little bit more about him and what his beliefs were, and then I kind of shared, you know, who I was and what was going on.
Praise God.
And I was hoping he was going to come today, but he didn't come today. Okay. He said he might come, but he's in High Point. But, pray for him. His name is Roy.
Amen.
And he claimed that he actually was a Christian, but doesn't believe in hell. I said, well, God believes in hell. He kind of created it.
Yep.
So I kind of tried to encourage him we talked, and he said, you know, you're not the first person I've had this conversation with in the last couple of weeks. Mm. He said, so God was using a whole bunch of us to kind of bring him back.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else want to share how they came to sharing their story this week? Here's what we're working on for the rest of my days in this church. We want to create a culture of evangelism, a culture of lifestyle evangelism. As we live our lives in this world, being sensitive to those around us. And here's what it really boils down to, guys. Loving and caring for other people. I'll tell you why many churches don't share today. They don't care. They're planted right strategically in communities where they could make a huge difference. But they drive by and drive through communities where they could actively touch lives. But you know what? They don't care. I want to hopefully encourage you in your walk of faith. So many of you care. You give your time and talents here so many ways. But we want to continue to pray that God create within us a love for people, a sensitivity to those that we connect with. I'll share with this, share mine with you. Last night, I didn't get to the gym quite as much this week as I'd like to, and you guys have been feeding us really good. And so I made it to the gym. Tammy was taking a nap, so I said, I'm gonna take off and run to the gym. And there's one guy I've been talking to there that I just wanted to share with. And I'd asked the Lord, in your time, Lord, let him be there. And I walked in, he was there. So when I walked in, I said, and I called his name's Tyler. I said, Tyler, I said, man, it's great to see you. He works odd hours and odd times. And I said, if you got a few minutes at the end when I get through working out, you're going to be here until closing? He said, yeah, yeah. I said, well, I'd like to get a few minutes with you. We're doing this thing at church. And I said, I need to share my story, and I just need to practice it, and I want to share with you my testimony. You know a little bit about me, but you don't know me. And he said, sure, anytime, which, man, that's just great. So I'm over there working out, praying, asking God to prepare hearts. And so certainly when I got a chance, I went in there and said, you got time? He said, sure. I said, well, let's sit down. We sat down there, and God gave me a good 5 clear minutes. Nobody bothered us, and just shared my story. And you know what happened when we got through? You know what he said? Thank you. You'll be surprised when you start caring for people. How many people will be so surprised that somebody cares enough to share and to connect with them that many times they'll just say, you know, thank you. Not always, but sometimes. We'll see more of that this morning. Okay, so as we're in number 6, let's see here, guys, if I can get all this to work this morning. We want to talk today as we move forward, okay? We're going to talk about 2 more ways that we can share our story, okay? Now remember, the goal is not our story. That's the vehicle, okay? That's how we get them to where we want them to go. We want to get people to the good news of God's grace, the gospel, okay? We, God's people, want to make Jesus known, okay? And you know, we can wear the t-shirts, you can put the tats on you. You know, they do all kinds of things today, sweatshirts with all these verses. But you know what? Best way to make Jesus known is tell them your story. And we'll talk much more about other things here later on. Now, one of the things we learned, and this is so true, one of the things the early church struggled with, when they came to faith in Christ, what happened was many of those that were saved out of paganism. And they were saved into this new church, this thing called the Church of Christ, the Way. And their old lifestyle was one where they offered meat to our animals, if you would, to sacrifice to these pagan gods. Well, oftentimes on the backside of the temples, these pagan temples, was a meat market. So they would make, not only get the offering in, they would get these animals in the pagan world, they'd turn around and sell the meat. Well, these pagans who have been now converted into Christianity, they wouldn't touch that meat. And so there's a lot written in the New Testament about them struggling with that. And what God said, and I want you to understand this, one of the biggest ways that you and I can tell others about Christ is that we can do it and we can witness through our thanksgiving. In fact, one of the verses that we're going to see this morning, he says it in 1 Timothy here, and let's read it here, 1 Timothy 4:4. It's in your margin there to the left. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. God wants us to give Him thanks for His provision. And I'll just say this, guys, you can witness through your thanksgiving. Now, you say, well, man, isn't this just incredible coincidence that this is right before Thanksgiving week? No, it's not. Rocky and I prayed about this. We set the time frame for this because we wanted it to hit just right. One of the greatest opportunities that we have to connect with the lives of others is this week and, of course, into the holiday season. We'll be breaking bread with family members and friends. We'll be connecting with people perhaps this week. Or over the next 5-6 weeks that we don't see sometimes for the whole year. And it is a great opportunity for us to be a witness. So we want to talk about Thanksgiving for just a moment. So here's the first one. I want you to do this. Let's think about praying over your meal when you're alone, okay? So let's just talk about when you're out in a restaurant. And many of us throughout the week wound up grabbing lunch somewhere, grabbing a meal somewhere together, perhaps with our spouses or girlfriends or whatever, guy friends, and we join together and we pray. But if you're alone, let me just encourage you to do this. Pray. Pray over your meal. Now, you don't need to be sitting there with your hands in there, oh, God, thank you for this meal. But we're talking about when you're in a public forum, that's an opportunity to be a witness, just as much as those who don't pray over is a witness as well. So when you're eating alone, make sure that you take time to give the Lord thanks. Now, let me just say this. Be careful in doing this because you don't want to sit there as a hypocrite and say, well, they didn't pray, and they didn't pray, and they didn't pray, and they didn't pray, and I'm the only one. I'm the only one in the whole restaurant that's going to bow my head. You know, one of the things Scripture talks about in the New Testament is beware of hypocrisy, because it's not about show, guys. It's about us truly making a difference. Here's something that I do personally. If I eat alone, which I don't normally eat alone, if I'm going to do that, I'll just go to the house and eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, okay? But if I am in a public restaurant and I do eat alone, if I do that, I'll oftentimes look around me and I'll just make a mental note of those, and that's who I pray for. And I may look and say, well, there's a young mother with a kid, like sitting right there, young lady with her son, and I'll bow my head and I'll say, Lord, I pray that you'll bless her. I don't know if she's a believer or not. I pray that you will just bless her day, encourage her, strengthen her. And I'll just begin to connect with people in my mind, and I pray for them at that time. Now, I'm not sitting there 15 minutes praying, but I'm just trying to make connections. You never know what God is doing with your witness. We oftentimes, so many times, want to try to figure God out. You're not going to do it. The times you most expect Him to be using you, He probably isn't, to be honest with you. And the times that you think He's using you the least is probably the times He's using you the most. Quit worrying about yourself and just make sure that you honor the Lord. So I'll encourage you, beware of hypocrisy. It's not for show. Remember that this is a work of God. You and I being a witness is you and I joining with God in His work. So if you're alone, pray over it. Trust God. Trust the Lord that He's using you. Heard about a pastor this week that he actually did this. He was in a restaurant by himself, prayed over his meal. And while he was eating, all of a sudden, he said, the owner of the restaurant came up and said, sir, we noticed that you pray for your food. And this lady back over here in this corner told me to give you this card. And he goes, yeah, I'm a married man. I don't know. You know, he didn't know what she was giving him. First of all, he was immediately thinking in the world. He's getting a phone number. And he said, well, now, I'm a married man. I'm not interested. He said, no, you don't understand. That's not what this is. He said, here. And he said, I looked at it, and it said, please pray. I noticed you prayed over your meal. Please pray for me and my husband and our family. We're going through marital problems. Will you pray for us? Well, now, of course, being a preacher, what does he do? Praise Jesus. He gets up. He goes back to the guy, and he says, hey, where's this lady at? He said, well, right over here. He said, I'm a marital counselor. He said, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to speak with her. So he walked back there, and he said, ma'am, I'm not trying to, you know, do anything in the wrong manner. But I saw your card here, and we definitely will be praying for you. I'm a pastor, but I do biblical counseling. Would you and your husband be open to that? And lo and behold, she said, yes. Long story short, this guy wound up. They came. He counseled them. God saved their marriage, and they wound up in the church. All because this one man, unbeknownst to this lady, this one man just simply bowed his head, Lord, thank you for this meal. I'll just say this. And I'll say this, and it may shock you. You have to believe that God is using you. What Satan? One of Satan's greatest tools is he tells you, God ain't using you. You're not Mr. Flamboyant. You're not Dr. Tim Lee. You're not Pastor Bruce Reedling. Caleb just came up to me before Sunday school. Pastor Bruce, do you still get nervous before you speak? Yes, sir, young man, I sure do. Say, when I was your age, I'd stand in school and I'd get up and I'd go, man, my face would be as red as Glenna's sweater down here, and I'd read my class report and I'd crawl back to my desk and slink back up in it and go, boy, I hope nobody saw me. Of course, I was the biggest kid in the class, just about. Knew better than that. Nervous. God saves me. God calls me to preach. Guess what? I'm still nervous and I have to depend upon the Lord. Satan regularly tells me, well, you're not this and you're not that. And you know what I often say? You're exactly right. But you know what? I am a child of the King, and God will use His faithful servant. You're God's faithful servant. So even when you, little old you, bow your head in a restaurant, God is big enough to use you. You may not be big enough, but God is. That's all that matters. He's big enough. He can use you and I, and I encourage you in that. Secondly, here's a biggie. This is one of my favorites. Ask to pray for your server. A server is the person waiting on you, okay? And it may be multiple, because in some of the restaurants, they'll have someone come in, take your order, and there'll be 47 people you'll visit you between the time you begin and end. I mean, you got a bunch, so you got to kind of keep a revolving record of who's coming, okay? But pray for your server. So how do I do that? I mean, how do I make that happen? Well, here's one of the ways, and this is I encourage you, and you use their name, we always give thanks for our food. Is there anything going on in your life, family, friends, health, that we can pray about for you? Now, here's something I do. This is just Bruce. I do this everywhere, though. If I'm going through food line, I look for the name tag. I encourage you to try that, because that always tickles me when you see people kind of go, like, do I know you? And I go, oh, yeah. You know, and I'll say, hey, Brenda, how you doing? How you having a good day? You know, and they go, oh, yeah, well, I'm doing fine. They relax. With somebody waiting on you at a server and they're waiting on you, you say, well, how are you today? And you speak and you initiate that as they come and take your order for your drinks and then for your food. Then when they come back with your food, that's when you say, I'll just say Brenda or Bob if it's a man. We always give thanks for our food, and I usually just go down the list. Your life, your family, your kids, friends, health, school, if they're younger, schooling. Oftentimes college students will grab these jobs. It's a great time to connect with them. And I'll say this, if there's no name tag, ask them, say, young lady, what's your name? Young man, what's your name? They always tell you. Then remember it. Okay, that's good memory for those of you who are over 50. It helps you remember, helps you work your memory. Okay, remember their name. Do as I do. Write them down if you need to help you from time to time. And as you ask, is there anything going on in your life? You know what you found? Any of you ever done this? I know some of you do. Yeah, several of you have. You've begun that practice. That's good. I encourage you to do that. You know what you're going to find out? Some people, I've had them do this recently. Well, you know, they're so taken back by this request. I don't really know of anything. You know, I don't know. It's like, you know, these Christian people, these people are a little bit weird. And so I say, well, no problem. I tell you, well, we'll just pray for you in a general manner. Okay, that's fine. Because you don't want to pressure them. This is just about being a witness. And so then you just pray for them generally. Lord, I don't know about what's going on in their world, and they're a little bit skittish about telling me. I'm good with that. But God, I pray that you will use us just bowing our heads here to draw them closer to you. Thank you for our dear food, Father. You're incredible. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Boom. Move on. Sometimes, though, I've had it happen. Their eyes are well up with tears. That's, to me, is always the most incredible, because you realize then these are divine appointments. God has strategically brought you across their path. And what I'll often do then is whenever I see that, I'll just stop and look at them and say, are you okay? And they'll begin to share. One recently on the other side of town, at Dottie's on the other side of town. Josh and I were with her, and the lady just looked at me. She said, yes. She said, she was 30-some years old. She said, I've got ovarian cancer. I said, well, we'll pray for you this morning. And you know what? It was amazing how God just used that. And I'll tell you guys, what happens is you begin to make connections with people when they know somebody cares. Because this world don't care. It's amazing what God can do with it. I'll say this. It's going to require that you learn to care about people. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's why we're here. We're not here for any other reason. We're here to reach this world. We are ambassadors for Christ. This is no longer our home. And so we've been left behind to touch those that we encounter every day. In fact, some of you, any of you ever read the book, Five Languages of Love? Any of you read that? Man, I tell you what. How many of you know what your love language is?
Bill's got his hand up, boy. John knows what his is. I ain't going to ask you fellas. I know what y'all's is.
Okay? In the book, The Five Languages of Love, there are five different ways that we communicate, that we receive love, and that we give love. And it's incredible because one of those love languages, I encourage you to get the book and read it. I highly encourage it. It'll be great for you as an individual because it helps you learn why certain things don't connect with you and other things you're like, man. I learned it very early in our marriage when my mother's love language was gifts. My daddy could do anything wrong. He'd come home with a gift of flowers, candy, and he's the greatest thing since they started slicing hot bread. It was amazing, okay? So I married my wife, Tammy, thinking, well, gifts is it. Our first Valentine's together, I bought her a necklace. I bought her a little ring, and I came home, and she goes, good grief, what'd you waste that money for? Pretty much, that's about exactly how she said it, too. So I'm brokenhearted, and I'm going, man, good grief, what'd I do wrong? Well, then 2 weeks later, she had asked me to put these stick-on letters on the mailbox. We were living over in a little old house off of West Market Street in Greensboro. So she's gone one day. I was off on Saturdays. I peeled and stick letters and stuck them on there. She come home. She come running in the house, throw her arms around me. You're the greatest thing. I can't believe you did that. And I'm going, what'd I do? You know? You put the letters on the numbers on the mailbox. I'm going, seriously? You know what I learned? My wife's love language is acts of service. My mother's was gifts. Some people's love language is physical touch. And you know, when we're out and we're being witnesses, when you ask somebody something personal, you touch them. It's powerful. And those of you that have the gift of touch, you understand that you can be mind going 90 miles an hour, somebody just touch you on. I tell women sometimes, if your husband has the touch thing, you touch his arm and whoop! It's like all of a sudden he's dialed in like a heat-seeking missile. Okay, he's like bang, 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 it's off the wall. You touch him on the arm. Yes, what you need, honey? It's an amazing thing. Well, you know what? When you're out with and you're having a meal at a restaurant and you say, Bob, Betty, whatever you're going to call her, Brenda, whatever their name is, how may I pray for you? You've just touched them. It's very powerful. Matter of fact, I heard another testimony of a young lady who was away from the Lord, living in a whole other state from her parents. Two Christian ladies came in and had a meal one day. And as they were getting ready to pray, she brought their food. They touched this young lady and said, they called her name and they said, do you mind if we pray for you? Anything going on in your world? Well, she was still away from the Lord. But she said, she backed up and she said, well, yeah, this. And she said, I left. Those ladies prayed for me. She said, you know what? For the next couple of years in her journey, God used that one event to continually remind her that he had his eye on her and that he was bringing her back to him. Now she came and she got right with the Lord and she's living for God today. All because, and she'll tell you today, all because two Christian women at lunch asked to pray for her. You say, wow, she couldn't remember their names. Doesn't matter. What matters is you remember his name. It ain't about us. Remember that? So the second thing is, ask to pray for your server, okay? Thirdly, this is big. I don't know if any of you have ever done this. I love doing this. Of course, some of these are a little more personality-driven than others, but I love doing this because I like to see people's reactions, okay? I've been doing this a long time. When you're together and you're at a table full of many people, these could be co-workers, these could be school classmates, these could be family, as in this week at Thanksgiving, because you'll be surprised how many Thanksgiving meals there's not anyone giving thanks. That shouldn't be the case this week if you're there, because what you may want to do is simply this, and here's how you ask. I always give thanks for my food. If you like, I'll just pray for both of us, if it's you and another person, or all, if there's more than one. And so basically what you say is like, you guys, you know, I normally pray for my food. Now, what's always funny for me is I have to start planning this when I go in. Back in the days when I used to work in the real world with you guys, I can remember oftentimes that you got guys running in there. They're like feeding like a bunch of hogs at a trough. You know, they'll go through the line, they'll be able to, they'll be slapped. So what I try to always do is get in front of the line. Now, they always thought it's because, well, Bruce is the head hog at the trough. No, I did like to eat, okay? But that wasn't what it was about, because I wanted to get a table first, so that when they got there, I'd say, hey, guys, if you can hold up till everybody gets here, I normally bless the food. Do you mind if I pray for all of us? I can't ever remember a time in my time that someone said, no, I don't want you to bless my food. Okay, I'll curse it then, right? No, I've never had anyone say, no, I don't want you to pray. Now, if they would do, you know what I would simply do? No problem. I'll pray for mine. Bow my head and thank the Lord for my food. Don't take it personal. But just remember, this is an opportunity for you to be a witness. Now, let me say this. When you pray, if they give you the green light to pray over their food, this is not the time to give the gospel message. Okay, this is not, oh, God, thank you for letting me be here with these sinners today. God, I know that they're lost, blind, wicked, dead, and enemies of God. No, no, that is not the time to pray that, okay? Keep it short. Keep it simple. Right to the point, okay? Father, I thank you for this food. Thank you for the Lord Jesus and for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. That's simple. You've talked to Father, certainly one God. Jesus was mentioned and his love for us. You thank the Lord for the food, and you certainly prayed it in Jesus' name. What you do, you're just planting seeds. You'll be surprised how many people that begins to connect, because you're letting them know, I'm spiritual. I'm a spiritually minded individual, okay? Highly encourage that. It's a blast. And learn to enjoy it, guys. This is just the journey. This is as we're going, make disciples. This is the journey of life with God. It's a blast. It's a lot of fun. Sometimes you hit a wall every now and then. That's okay. It doesn't mean you've done something wrong. It just means back up and go another direction. But certainly we can be a witness. Pray if you're alone. Ask to pray for your server. That's oftentimes a big witness. And then ask to pray for others at the table. And certainly, as I said, Father, thank you for this food. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay? Here's a biggie. Can we read that together? Tip well. Can we do? We're going to do a little interpretation here. What does that mean? More than 15%. Do you realize how much that is? Yeah, I do. If you're going to tip less than that, then put somebody else's track down, okay? Do First Baptist down here. Do Harvest. Don't do ours, okay? You say, well, the service was lousy. Well, it's all right. Tip well. That'll shock them. Because it's not about the tip. Please hear me. It's not about the tip. It's about being a witness. Daniel and Rachel it was a restaurant, a pizza place. That's what it was. And they wound up, when Daniel was down there, they were first married. They wound up managing and serving, not managing, I guess, but serving and then ultimately managing it. One of the things he said was the greatest, most horrible thing was Sundays after church. All them God's people, them Christians would come in and they'd flood that restaurant and they would gripe and complain and moan and they never asked to pray for their servers. It was always about them and then they tipped pitifully. How sad. That just rebukes me. And I used to tell him, he'd call me and say, I said, brother, be a witness. Be a witness. It's not about that, guys. Understand this. We deserved hell. And God sent his only son. Nothing about your life merits God coming and dying in your place. Nothing. Who in the world are we? When we go to a restaurant, we got an opportunity to be a witness. Tip well. You say, well, I can't. Well, then sell something so you got enough money so you can tip well. Have a focus in your life. It's exciting. In fact, sometimes, and I've heard some of you talk about this, even paying it forward. Sometimes do stuff outside the box. We've been trying to be a witness at this one restaurant. Josh and I will eat there every once in a while. Maybe once a week we'll eat there for breakfast. He goes to work before I come in here. We'll grab a bite of breakfast. And we've been trying to be a witness. And I was in there one day, and we kind of connected with these young ladies, been praying for them. But the other week we were in there, and I got up, and there was a couple the next table over that was being waited on. I just went, while I was there, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to buy their meal. Now, this was a mixed couple, and they had a little youngin', and you could tell they were kind of had it rough. And so I bought their breakfast, and this lady just looked at me and said, what are you doing this for? And I said, the Lord told me to. I'm just doing it. Well, sir, what? How can I repay you? I said, you don't. Pay it forward. Just pass the word. And so what we're doing, and guess what happened? So they go back over to the table, and they put $20 down for the tip for the girl that was waiting on us. So I'm watching all this happen. I'm just laughing because I'm going, God, what are you doing here? So all of a sudden, she comes over, and she goes, and she looked over at all of her little friends, stuck that thing in her little pocket. You know what? You go, guys, what am I saying? Be a witness. Be a witness. As you're going, make disciples. Understand, this is a great privilege that we have to go forward. And I oftentimes encourage you guys, for me now, I usually leave one of these. You're invited. I take one of our church things, I slip the money in there, and leave that right there, okay? Because that also lets them know this is where we're at. Because I care. We care about people. We want to connect them. And as you go back and you begin to remember those names, you begin to connect, make relationships, and get opportunity to share what God has done in your world. Now let's quickly move on. This is another method. This is the second method. You can witness with tracts. Now, what we're going to do today, because as we work through this, I want you to understand there's a principle at work here. Okay? Here's the principle. It comes from 1 Corinthians 9:22. Paul said this, I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. Okay? Now, I will say this. We have to be very careful in the tracts that we choose. We have to be wise in how we use them because some tracts, quite honestly, carry the mindset of it's us four and no more is going to heaven. Okay? Now, I'm not saying all roads lead to heaven because they don't. There's only one man between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. There's one mediator. It's Jesus Christ. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But what I'm saying is there is a methodology that's abrasive. There's a methodology that's critical and judgmental. There are many tracts like that, sadly. And some people find a great pride, almost an arrogance in sharing it. I'm not talking about those kind of tracts. I'm talking about having tracts available that will connect with people's lives, okay, that they can connect with. I'm going to give you just a couple of ideas this morning because there are several approaches that we use. The first one's called the shotgun approach. What do you think that means? What's a shotgun? It's called an old-timey name for scattergun. Y'all remember that? Scattergun. That means when you shoot, there's a shotgun. The pellets just scatter. They go many different ways. Well, there's the shotgun approach. That's the approach where you would grab several tracts and have them in your pocket. And so when you're out and you're coming up to someone and you just want to share, you maybe kind of judge the situation and you have in your repertoire, if you would, of tracks and say, oh, this one would fit. This one would connect with the situation. So you would have at your availability shotguns. Or you may walk up simply with two or three different tracks and say, you know, we're doing this thing at church and we're learning how to share our story about the Lord. And one way we're trying to learn to do is just share through tracks. Which one would you like? I have one here today, The Evidence of God, or Canyon Crossing, and if you know someone's a golfer, we'll talk about that sports-related stuff in a bit. But you would share, and you may would give them the opportunity to choose. You'd be surprised how many people say, well, I happen to like this one. We'll talk more about this one in a minute. But you'd be surprised how many people will take them from you. And will, you know, all you're doing is you're trying to share the track. You're trying to connect their lives, okay? Now, I would encourage you, and that's why I encourage you to do this, look through the track rack, read them. Find your personal favorite, okay? One that I find it has often used, and it's a great one, because many people have a pet. How many people in here have pets? Cat, dog, guppies, goldfish, you know. There's about a lot of people in here have animals. Well, here's a good one when you come up with a lot of people, probably 50% of the people in here, which is pretty much standard, have a pet. You can say, well, you know, I've got a great tract that I use. I share with people. This is some information. Will my pet go to heaven? And you'd be surprised how what will happen is you say, you know, Glenn, have you got a pet? What will happen is a lot of times they'll reach out and say, well, let me look at that. Because people with pets, what do they want to know? You spend 12 years of your life with an animal, okay, unless you just got a heart like a piece of concrete, when that animal goes, you're going to go, man, it breaks your heart. That's why I don't have animals. I deal with separation anxiety. I can't take it. I can't take that. Why? Because I plug into those lives. I love on those animals. I love those little kitty cats when they're laying on your belly. I love them dogs just that you play with throughout the day. You share that tract. But let me encourage you, read the tract. Know what it says, okay, as you share it. Because ultimately, this deals with what the Bible says about animals and whether they'll be in heaven or not. Ultimately, getting around to the truth about how a person gets to heaven. So you can use the shotgun approach. And oftentimes what happens, people will take one. And most times I've found, you know what they'll say? Thanks. It's an amazing thing. They'll thank you for a gospel track. In fact, I think, Pat, I think you had a lady just yesterday. She shared a track with someone yesterday. Did they say thank you? Yeah. It's an amazing thing. They're thanking you for sharing the truth about Jesus Christ. See, we're not doing this in a judgmental way. Okay? You're not coming up and saying, well, let me give you this track on, you know, if this person happens to be a practicing homosexual, you don't come up a track that says why all homosexuals go to hell. Okay? That's not the track we're talking about. The track you need to share is, we'll talk about in a moment, how to have peace with God. It's an incredible way. So know your tracks, look for the opportunity, and ask the Lord to give you discernment as you share it. That's called the shotgun approach. Then there's another one, and I'll use this one oftentimes. When you use this, you'll use it with sports tracks a lot of times. People watch sports, or if they're into music, there's music tracks. If they're into celebrities, you know, you've got tracks for celebrities. But know your people. Know the people you're sharing with. If you're in a sports event, then if it's a football event, man, you can take tracks like this one here for Drew Brees. Gives his personal testimony. Drew Brees is the quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Talks about how he came to faith in Jesus Christ and how God worked. If it's a baseball lover, here's one on Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle, his whole life, incredible story of his life. A gifted baseball player, wasted many of his life. They said wasted a lot of his life on women and alcohol. He became a raging alcoholic. Ultimately, right before he died, they got him to where he got help. And by God's grace, he was on his deathbed. And I think it's Richardson was the guy's name. Bobby Richardson came and shared the gospel. He was a personal friend, had witnessed to Mickey his whole life, played ball with him, led him to faith in the Lord Jesus before Brother Richardson got there. Mickey told him he had trusted Jesus to save him. So you go to a baseball player and you share this track. Basically, you know what it says and you share it with them and you move on. It's amazing. You do the same thing with celebrities. You'd be surprised how many of them. Many of you may remember Payne Stewart, the golfer. He was a believer. Many throughout life have books, have tracts that have been written. I encourage you to share them. I will say this, though. Using tracts does tend to be a little more personality driven. Okay? And what I mean by that is people that are outgoing and outspoken and, you know, willing to, you know, can talk to anybody do tend to be the ones that are able to use these more fervently. But let me say this. I've even known ladies, men who are silent and quiet still use them. You can sometimes go to a hospital. You can take, and I do this from time to time. You're in a waiting room. You put a track over there. But you put a track over there about how to have peace with the Lord or how to find healing in times of need or God cares. And you read those tracks and you share those. One thing I will say this, one of my favorite stories is a mom many years ago, 20 years ago, I think it was, 20 years ago. She was saved and raising her two kids together, and her husband was lost. And I'll say this, I can't help but laugh. I still laugh about it. But she said, I even leave tracks on the back of my husband's toilet. Let me say this, guys. No, not a good way to do that, okay? Don't do that in your home. Don't do that in public restroom, okay? We don't want to take the gospel and have it just trashed in there, okay? Use it if you can, put it in their hands. I will say that her husband did come to faith in Christ, but it was only after we sat at Shoney's there on Highway 49 and shared the gospel with him again, and he trusted Jesus. Okay? Doesn't mean she didn't love him, but there's good places to do that, and there's bad places. So just be very sensitive to that. Then that's the shotgun approach, okay? And I'll encourage you to prayerfully use that. But then we also have another one. Let me skip through the rifle approach. Now, what do you think that means? Targeted. I call it the bullseye, okay? And here's one that's really, really good. It's called Steps to Peace with God, okay? This is one where you get right directly to the heart of the matter. Because you'd be surprised today how many people in our culture struggle with anxiety, fear, lack of peace. And you know what? You can tell them as you share your story, you know what? I was like that. I've been through difficulty. I've been through struggle. I've been through depression with my family. But had it not been for the peace of God, I don't think I'd have made it through. And you can say, let me just share with you this track from Billy Graham. In fact, one of the ways you can actually introduce this, have you ever heard of Billy Graham? What do you think would happen if we said that here in America? How many people probably would say, I've heard of Billy Graham? Yeah. The vast majority would say, I have heard of Billy Graham. In fact, that's one biggie that he recommends. Ask that. He said, and what happened? Well, he's written a tract. And you can just say, he's written a little booklet called How to Have Peace with God. And one of the things we like about this booklet is it has God's Word right here in it. It's not Billy's opinion. It's not my opinion. It's not the opinion of the denomination. But this is what the Word of God says, how you can have peace with the Lord. And what you can often say, I won't be offended. This is where you got to learn to separate yourself from this. I won't be offended if you don't take it. You can say, you know, would you like one? But I won't be offended. And give them that out. I won't be offended if you don't take it. Sometimes we have people say, I'd rather not. And I'm good with that. Then guess what? Move on. Don't take, oh, he didn't take it, oh my, I'm this, I failed. No. He just didn't take it. That's okay. Y'all got to remember your life before Jesus came in. I publicly mocked Christians. I did. Okay? I rejected a lot of people before that one little Sunday school teacher walked in and looked up at me and says, I record show you've never been saved. Really? Well, what's that? So don't take what he or she may say personally. Keep plugging. Move on to the next. Share. I won't be offended. I'll say this because as you get through this, you can walk them through it in each step. Know the track. Take a few minutes and know it. Familiarize yourself. In fact, I wrote in my notes right here, not only read it, know it. I encourage you to practice it. Any of you practice sharing your story with your spouse? If not, you should. Or practice sharing your story with your kids or family or friends. You need to be relaxed and comfortable with it. Best way to do it is practice it. You can do the same thing with a track. We've done that for years. When we did EE through our local church here, we practiced. Y'all remember doing that? Any of you taking EE? You remember sitting down and practicing with each other? Why do you do that? So that when it came the opportunity for us to share, we were able to do it. And we still stumbled. We all did it. We all struggle from time to time. And just be sure to share. And as you make that, just be very pointed with them, okay? So practice it. I will encourage you with this. Keep these in your pockets, okay? Try to keep some of these, and you may want to keep some of these others in your vehicle. But when you go into a restaurant, take some with you. When you're going to go out with friends, take some with you. I give them out in many different ways. I don't know about you, but I encourage you. Don't ever limit what God may do with you sharing a tract. How many of you still mail your checks and bills in? Any of you? Yeah, several of you still do that the old-fashioned way, okay? But that's okay. I mean, I do a few of mine as well. You know what you can do? With your check, put a tract in there. Well, they send you their junk, don't they? Hey, let's send them some good news. Let's get them truth. You never know who's sitting there. Well, they're just zipping and unwrapping these things and dropping them out. Well, that's right. Well, will my pet go to heaven? Maybe that person just strategically is the one to put it in their pocket and go home and read it. I've heard folks get tracts, and one guy said he gave it out in Georgia, and he got a letter in with this signed and sent back from Oregon. Still has no understanding how that person in Oregon got the gospel tract, but they trusted Jesus Christ and sent this back to them. Now, on our tracts here at our church, we've got the church information already on a label put on the back. So if anybody wants to have other questions, they can call here or send us information. I encourage you to do it. I'll say, like American Express used to say, don't leave home without them. Sadly, what happens to me a lot of times is I'm in the restaurant and I'm wrapping things up, and I go, oh man, car's out there in the parking lot, ain't there? I don't have it. Pray for my memory that I'll do better with remembering the tracks when we go in. Sometimes when I go through the bank teller, I'll have some sitting in my car right there. And as you establish relationships, as you go through the bank, cashing a check, depositing, whatever you do, go through the bank, guess what? Slip them one. In fact, there was a lady from Ireland at SunTrust over here off of Alamance Road that I'd go through every once in a while and connect with her and began to share tracts with her. And it was really powerful how the Lord used that relationship through the years for me to be a witness. Why is it? You're just showing people I care. We just care about what's going on in their life. So have you ever heard about Billy Graham? So what do we do next? So what's next, guys? Well, I'll say this, based on what we've seen today in God's Word, what should we do with it? Now, I'll remind you what James 1:22 said, don't merely listen to the Word and so deceive ourselves. Do what it says. Put it into practice. I have to work on it. I have to consciously pray, Lord, help me be sensitive today. Help me to be ready and prepared for those opportunities. And as we go forward, guys, as we go forward, we want to make sure we're prepared to share good news. This world desperately needs it. I just simply want to do this. I want to encourage you, because you guys have been phenomenal. I don't know many who would come week after week for six straight Sundays and go through this. A lot of preachers won't even do this because they're afraid, well, people aren't going to like it, and you know they won't come back. Time we get to week seven, half the church will be somewhere else. Well, you know what? You've not been that way. You guys have been incredible, and I'm so blessed by you doing that. And I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this week in three primary areas, okay? Three primary areas, okay? Here we go. I want to encourage you, if you're out this week, I will pray at every meal this week by myself, for my server, or for others at the table. Will you commit to doing that this week as the Lord opens the opportunity? I encourage you. I plan to do it. I'm looking forward to that opportunity. I wish I could say we always remember. We don't always. Sometimes you're in the heat of things. You don't. But if you don't, then ask forgiveness, and the next time you do it, get an opportunity, do it, okay? So I encourage you to do that. If you're willing to do that, sign that and date it. Okay, this day today, I'm making that commitment, and we'll be praying for you in that regard. The second one is I'll encourage you to get a tract this week. Go out here. We've got the track rack filled up. We've got things ready to go. We have others that, Lord willing, we'll be putting together and putting out there in time to come. But grab you some tracks. Take them home with you. We run out, we'll replenish it for you. And the Christian bookstores have bazillions for you, okay? So you don't see what you like here, go there, read through them, find what clicks for you, and then share it. Now, something else that we purchased this year, Our Daily Bread, many of you still use those. Our Daily Bread had Finding Peace at Christmas. You know, Christmas, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's one of the most lonely times in our culture. It's an amazing thing to me. Times of such great festivity and family and all the things that go on between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and yet there are more suicides, there's more depression during this time. Can I encourage you guys to take some of these and pass them out? It's 10 steps. There's 10 reflections that people can just think through, and it'll remind them what Christmas is really all about. It's not about all this commercial junk, but it's about God loving us and sending His Son. That's the only thing that rights our hearts, isn't it? Is having a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So give away one tract just this week. give away. And I understand you can give one to the bank teller, but I encourage you to give one where you actually put it in somebody's hand. See, watch what God will do. You'll be surprised what God will do if you'll take that step of faith. And then if you do number one and number two, you're prepared to do that every day, here's what will happen very naturally. I will share my personal testimony, my story, with at least one person this week. Everybody's got a story. And let me just say, it's an encouraging time. Here we're headed into Thanksgiving. It's going to be a time of great family. Can I encourage you? I'm just going to talk Bruce to you right now. Bruce to brothers and sisters. I cannot stress to you the potential for connection over the next 6 weeks around you. What I mean by that is, I'm not talking about you may go over there with the intent to watch a ball game together or eat together, but prayerfully go as the ambassadors for Jesus, because you have the opportunity to touch people's lives. I mean touch them in a way that'll make a difference. It may save them from suicide. It may let them know that God's got His eye on them. We're not called to judge them. We're not called to be critical of them, but we are called to love them. And so as God has sent us and is sending us today, I encourage you, as you go, touch the lives of those around you. There are people you're going to encounter just this week that wouldn't give me the time of day. Well, I'm the preacher. That's why. But they will listen to you, man. That wall will be down. That heart's door will be open. You will say a few words and you'll be right there at your heart. I encourage you to be sensitive in these seasons. It's a very powerful, powerful time. I remind you of this. If you get this, this is what it's all about. What God has done is He has strategically saved each of us as children of God. If you're here this morning and you have believed on Jesus Christ, not here, but here, and placed your trust in Him to save you, you're His child. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to love Him. He wants you to walk by faith each day. But as you go, you are His strategically placed instrument in this world. You are not where you are by chance. You think you had a choice in it. You may have had a divine choice, but God has divinely directed you. He strategically has placed you. You are His body. And He could save everybody just like that if He wanted to. But you know what He chose to use? Human instruments. You and me. Just with all of our cracks, with all of our shortcomings, with all of our failures, God has chosen to use you and me. And as I was reminded this week, you are somebody's answer to prayer. That young lady I told you about that was at a restaurant in Asheville, was a waitress, and those two Christian ladies were praying for, or had asked to pray for her. What they didn't know was that her parents were in Georgia crying out to God for their daughter, asking God to send someone into her life to be a witness. You are somebody's answer to prayer for those you will encounter this week. I am someone's answer to prayer. It doesn't matter that I don't have to know who. Strategically, we've been sent, and I'll say this in closing, to just love people. May God help us to love people like He has first loved us. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we finish our time this morning, I thank You for my brothers and sisters who have been so faithful and patient and kind and gracious over these 6 weeks and have allowed me the privilege to teach this. And I thank You for those who have carried the gospel into the streets and to share their story. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will continue to stir us as only He can to be more concerned about others than we are ourselves, and forgive us for selfishness, forgive us for lack of concern and lack of compassion. Lead us, Father, to those who are nearest eternity without you, that we might touch their lives with the gospel, that you might draw them to you and save them, Lord, before it's too late. I pray that as we go in this Thanksgiving week, Father, and we will encounter our family and friends and co-workers as we celebrate this Thanksgiving week, may we be the people who take the initiative, who take the lead and pray. And pray as a testimony, and we pray also, God, to give thanks. We pray for those at our table. We pray for our servers. I pray that you will open some phenomenal doors for us this week as we go out into our community, loving and caring for those who need you. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have here this morning. Should there be one here today, Lord, that does not know the forgiveness that they can have in Jesus, I pray that they won't leave today before they come and say, Pastor, we'd love to know the truth. I pray, God, that you'll just lead them in that direction, and we'll give you glory. Thank you, dear Father. We love you now. In Jesus' name, amen.